Emmy Parker, Moogfest is announcing many of its daytime presenters. Has Moogfest reinvented itself?
Well, I don't know if it reinvented itself, but we've been working really hard for the last year or so to reinvent it, certainly.
Is it fair then to say that it's evolving, becoming more than an electronic music festival?
Way more than an electronic music festival at this point, yes.
And do you see it as an economic development tool?
For Asheville, absolutely. One of the reasons why Mike Adams, the president of Moog, wanted to move Moogfest back to Asheville is so that the city could benefit from having all of these amazing performers in town. And now we've added to the list of nighttime performances by inviting some of the preeminent thought leaders in the world to Asheville to gather during the daytime of Moogfest for what is essentially an innovation and creativity conference.
And it's expanded to 5 days?
Yeah, we needed 5 days to pack in all of this unique programming. It's going to be wild.
Do you think it's true to the original mission of honoring or paying tribute to Robert Moog?
More so now than it ever has been in the past, because everybody knows that Bob built creative tools for musicians, but you know, he was a lot more than that. And as a physicist and a thinker and a humanist, I think now the festival is covering 360 degrees of what Bob was and what he meant to so many people, which goes so far beyond just musicians. I mean, he is a luminary and an icon for engineers and for physicists and tinkerers and hobbyists and people that are trying to shape the future of our world.
Obviously a much more ambitious festival than when it was born.
Yes, and it's a huge investment. And the reason why we felt like we needed to do this at Moog was we felt like we weren't doing justice to Bob's legacy through the celebration. And we also felt like we weren't doing enough for the city of Asheville. And so we've retooled it so that people can really understand more about what Bob was about, so we can celebrate that, but also so that we can create something that can be a real economic driver for this city in the long term.
When you look at the list of people who are coming for these daytime presentations, you have ethicists, the social impact of emerging technologies experts, experts in cloning, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, and of course, music and the designing of synthesizers.
Yeah, really exciting. Yeah, and it's a really unique festival. It's a unique program. What we wanted to do was bring together people who spend their time figuring out what the future is going to look like, what it's going to sound like. And we wanted to bring these people together in Asheville. And by doing that, what we're hoping is that we'll create an environment of conversation and collaboration where we're not just talking about what the world's going to look like, but of course, what Asheville might look like in the future, what Moog will look like in the future, what our communities will look like in the future. So, I mean, we're very excited.
Is one of the goals to have many of these thinkers and innovators move their operations to this region?
That's not a goal per se of ours, but do you know many people that come to visit Asheville and don't talk about coming back one day, maybe even for long-term stays?
And there are links to Bob Moog. I know on the list you see Herbert Deutsch, a recipient of the Moogfest Lifetime Achievement Award, and he collaborated with Bob Moog in the development of the Moog synthesizer way back in 1964. But there are names that many of us will not recognize, and there are familiar names.
Yes. The names that you probably will recognize are names like Keith Emerson from Emerson, Lake & Palmer. I'm sure everyone will recognize Laurie Anderson's name, and Laurie and Bob met each other and knew each other, but people probably don't know that Lou Reed visited the Moog factory in 2008 and spent quite a bit of time there. And, you know, he was very enamored with the technology in the Moog guitar.
Yeah, the late, great Lou Reed, who just recently died. Another name that many people won't recognize, but he is a fellow that worked with Stevie Wonder and produced several of the late, great Gil Scott-Heron albums.
Malcolm Cecil.
Yeah, so there are a lot of people coming that will be intriguing and fascinating to people that they may have never heard of.
Yeah, people like Nick Bostrom, and he's a Swedish philosopher. He's the director of the Future of Humanity Institute at Oxford. And somebody that I'm really excited about is Dr. Joe Paradiso from the MIT Media Lab. You know, we've got people who literally spend all of their time studying what the future of our world can and will be. People like Jerome C. Glenn, who's the director of the Millennium Project. And the Millennium Project puts out a report every year called The State of the Future. What we basically have is a group of people coming together that have very dynamic and unique ideas. And when you can bring together performers and futurists and thinkers and artists and musicians and get them all together in one place, it's just, you never know what's going to happen. And we wanted to take that risk and have that excitement here in Asheville.
So this is dedicated to technology, art, and music.
Yeah, it's dedicated to Bob.
With daytime conferences and nightly performances?
Yeah, and we're not going to announce the 5 nights of music until December 19th. And that's because we really want people to focus on what we're putting together for the daytime, at least, you know, for a month.
In the past, it's been at multiple venues.
Yes.
Will that be the case in April?
Even more venues than in the past.
What about tickets?
Tickets go on sale today. They are $199 for the next month. It's an unbelievable steal because you get 5 days of music programming, 3 days of the Innovation Conference, and it's like less than $40 a day.
Is there a model for what this festival is becoming? Is it like South by Southwest? We've heard that comparison.
Yeah, and I think people make that comparison, and I have in the past, simply because it's a touch point for people that they can relate to. Is it exactly like South by Southwest? No. Did South by Southwest start as a music festival, just like Moogfest did? Yes. Did it then grow into an ideas festival also? Yes, Moogfest has also followed that trajectory. That's kind of where the similarities stop. You know, South by Southwest is a really great place for consumer packaged goods and a lot of marketeers and agency folks, and we at Moog attend every year. This Moogfest is really more for people who are interested in creative uses of technology and how we're going to use technology to shape the way our world looks and sounds in the future. And typically these types of conferences cost up to $1,000. And we wanted to price these tickets at a level that would be accessible to folks in this community and in this region, because people that live in urban centers have opportunities to be exposed to thinkers like this on a more regular basis. But at Moog, we felt like it was our responsibility to bring some of these folks to Asheville so that people in our community could also, you know, have the opportunity to hear what some of these people are talking about. And actually, on that note, you know, we'd love for the most students possible in the area to be able to come to this festival. So if there are companies out there that would like to buy tickets and distribute them to students and sponsor them coming to the Innovation Conference, we're all for it.
Moogfest 2014 begins April 23rd. Emmy Parker is with Moog Music. Thank you very much.